A lot of people came from Yorkshire, I guess.
Sounds like it might be right. I met a man the other day I never met before. He asked me if I wanted a job shoveling on an ore. I asked him what the wages were and he said 10 cents a ton. I said, old fella, go chase yourself. I'd rather be on the bum.
Could you do me a favor and sing that one more time?
I gotta get that one on tape. That was great. Just a minute, just one second. There we go. Whatever you're ready.
I met a man the other day I never had met before. He asked me if I wanted a job shoveling on an ore. I asked him what the wages were and he said 10 cents a ton. I said, old fella, go chase yourself. I'd rather be on the bum.
That's a good one.
Now I could be a conductor, never have a wreck, but any kind of a railroad man to me is a pain in the neck. Doodly doody 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 doody. Whenever I think, now I could be a tenor and maybe sing high C, but I heard one on the radio and that was enough for me. Whenever I think of Lincoln, I know I couldn't forgive a guy that would murder a man like him and let these tenors live. Now I could ride in a Pullman, but there you are again. The place they use in the Pullman seats tickles my sensitive skin. Now I could eat out of dishes, it's just a matter of choice. But when you eat from an old tin can, there ain't no dishes to wash. Now I could be a banker, as easy as could be. But just the thoughts of that iron cage is too suggestive for me.
Why, it sounds like you got them in your hoboing days. Did you ever jump a train, Clyde?
Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, Mom. I was a delegate to the Elk Valley Association one time over to some little old town above Wyden there, back before the days of automobile. Well, you had to get that BC&G train down to Dundon and then get a train up to Villanova. Well, I got that BC&G train down to Dundon, and I got down there, I discovered the passenger train didn't come by for about 4 or 5 hours. And there wasn't nothing down to Dundon. Well, I was all fixed up for church. I had a tie on, you know, a suit and all fixed up. So, after a while, the freight train come by. And I thought, man, oh man, that there just be the way for man to get home. Well, he wasn't going very fast, and I caught the train, and I got in and ladder in between two cars, and I know it's only about 18, 20 miles up, you know. So I just got in between two cars there. So we come up to Villanova, and whenever he rode for the crossing, I knew he wasn't going to stop. It was on a Sunday. And there wasn't no reason for him to stop. And he was going pretty fast, too. Well, of course, the track is elevated, you know, and then there's a walkway down along the side of it. Well, I didn't want to get wait till I got right up in town. I know there'd be people around there and didn't want them to see me, though. So I got down on the stirrup and just down a little bit below Villeneuve where they couldn't see me. No, I think instead of slowing down, I think it speeded up some. And I held there, you know, and I'd seen people. Well, the fact of the matter is, there's three or four of my brothers as railroaders, you know, and I've seen them. And I stuck 1 foot way down, you know, and stuck it way out and let loose. I hit on that foot, and the next place I hit was about the first time I ever entered that door right on top of my head. Oh, that killed me, I tell you what. I did. I lit on that foot. I had this foot stuck way out to him, and I lit on that foot, and I just went down on over, and I went for at least 7 or 8 feet, and I lit right square on top of my head. On them cinders.
In your Sunday best.
Yeah, in my Sunday best. I had a cap on. Back at that time, I wore a cap on. And this ruined the cap. Just pretty near cut the top out of it.
Yeah, John B. steps in air conditioned model.
Well, every time you say something, it reminds me of something. There used to be an old crazy old song about that John B. Stepp. Did you ever hear it? Dagley was a bad man, Billy Lyons he was too. When he stole old Dagley's hat, he shot him through and through. It was all about that John B. Stepp and that.
Dagley and Billy, right?
Yeah. You know, the bell of musicians around here is gone. Like I say, look, man, the French Boundary up there now, he didn't have no great name of being a fiddler or nothing like that, but he's one of the best fiddlers around here. He was good. He could play hymns or old fiddle tunes or whatever. Then there used to be a boy around here, he did now, although he's just about my age, the name of Carl Lambert. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not. He was a
guitar player?
Mm-hmm. He was Ward Jarvis's, well, I don't know. I've heard that Ward Jarvis was his dad, I don't know. Uh-huh. But anyway, he was a guitar player and he's one of the best guitar players that's ever been around here. I suppose he was self-taught, I don't know. But I can remember back before I ever started to play or anything, I can remember him playing. He was real good. But now you'll tell me about Ward Jarvis playing the banjo, and I know Ward Jarvis, I grew up with him, and that's something I didn't know.
Well, you know that Bentley, I come over here and taped you for that tape I'm making?
Yeah.
Well, you and Ward Jarvis are going to be on the same tape.
Now, I've got some Ward Jarvis fiddle tunes here on the tape, but Lewis Bound gave me.
Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Huh. You'd be interested in my son Matt with me.
Yeah, I would be.
Okay.
Lewis never played any music.
Not anymore. Lewis used to be good.
What did he play?
He played the guitar, mandolin.
Why did he quit?
I don't know, he just quit. Yeah, Lewis used to be a real good guitar player.
You tell me his wife is a quilter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she works for this Cabin Creek outfit.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Sells her quilts through there?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. She's good. She's real good. You know what? I done a right part of work after I retired, but they've got a big old house up there, awful big house. It was built back years ago, and it was a real, you know, real carpenter built, it was a good house. But the inside of it was just wood ceiling, you know, and paper and all like that. And I went into it and paneled it and put new ceilings up in it and done a lot of work to it. And in the kitchen, they had a bunch of old metal cabinets and put up crooked and one thing and another. And Jean was a good friend. The fact of the matter is, her girl, that Marcia, was the same age as my youngest girl, and she'd come down here in this wintertime, and me or Gene one would take them to school. If I was home, I'd take my girl and her down to the school bus, you know, and if I wasn't home, Gene'd take them. We'd done that for years. Gene was afraid of snow, and any time of snowy weather or bad roads, I'd always take them bus home. But anyway, I told Gene, I said, if you'll buy the material, I'll make you a set of kitchen cabinets, wall cabinets for Christmas present. She said, you just go up to the place up there and get anything that you want. I'll pay for it. So I went up and got a bunch of stuff. And in the meantime, the kitchen had a partition here, and there was a porch out there, and the kitchen wasn't big enough to suit them. And she asked me if I'd take this partition out, had a door and a window in it, and enclose the porch and make the kitchen bigger. Mm-hmm. I thought, yeah, I would. I had to get 2x10s and make a thing to put up over the place where I took the partition out, because of the roof barrier, you know. So I fixed it all up. I made them cabinets and put them up, and I had odds and ends of the lumber and different stuff left, you know. And this place where I'd fixed the porch up, I'd put a set of windows in it, and there's a place that's about that long on each end where the windows comes in. You know that woman took that stuff that I'd left over? She took that stuff and looked at the cabinets that I made, and she made a cabinet for each end of that, just as good as the ones I made and put up there. Now she did. Didn't have a thing, no, just an old hand-sawed square. Now she made a cabinet and put doors in it, you know, and hinges on it and everything. Put one on each to fill the place out from the windows on the wall, you know. They're up there right now. This is as nice as anybody could want.
Would they be home a day like this?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I was wondering if maybe Bob would want to get a picture of her quilts if she had any.
Mm-hmm.
You think they'd mind that?
Well, I know. She'd probably be taking back when they call them.
Thank you.
Bench went clear along, and the boys, most of them sat on the back of the bench back there, you know. The rest of them sat around us.
But every night you would do that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and after supper was over, was in the summertime, we had a porch. We lived down there and had a porch, and we'd go out on the porch and sit down and talk and sing and tell jokes.
I remember in my family, we always sat on the front porch and sang hymns, you know,
mm-hmm.
after evenings.
And is that when, if you were going to do quilting or a basket, is that when you would be doing a little of that while you were sitting and talking? Or?
Well, usually, of course, we did our most quilting and handwork in wintertime,
mm-hmm.
past long evenings. But this would be summer evenings when it was nice and cool.
You just stay outside.
Sing songs. Sometimes we'd visit our neighbors. We'd walk with the neighbors and visit. Life's a lot different now.
Well, it's a lot faster, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Lucy, did you ever know any women that did what they call tatting?
Uh-huh.
Did you?
I have a piece of tatting that my aunt made.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. It's getting pretty well worn now because she did it years ago.
Yeah. That's something you hardly hear of anybody doing.
No, yeah. And they lived in California, and she would send, you know, us.
She left from here to go out there?
No, my uncle was born and raised in West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
He went out there and married her.
I see.
She was a German girl.
Uh-huh. Huh.
Uh-huh. And she did beautiful handwork. Piece I have that's pretty well worn.
Yeah.
And she knitted lace.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I'd never known anyone to do, knitted lace. I have a pretty piece she made out of that that's still good, I'll show you.
Oh, she's getting out. I've got one I want to tell you.
Okay.
He called me popcorn. Yeah, I'll wait till she gets it written that first.
It's so delicate.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Uh-huh. It really is. And her name was Emma Rawlson. And she lived to be 102 years old.
And she knitted that.
Uh-huh, she knitted that.
Isn't that something?
It really is.
Look how intricate this all is.
I don't know anyone that does tatting. Now.
Did you ever know anybody who wove, Lucy? I mean, years ago?
Well, let me see now, did I? Regina up here, she used to weave rugs. You know, she bought her a loom, and she wove rugs.
Rag rugs.
But other than that, I don't believe, did you ever know anybody that did weaving?
Back years ago, there used to be a woman or two in the vicinity done weaving. I can't remember too much about it. My mother didn't weave. She was a spinning wheel. She spun, knitted.
Yeah.
I wore many pair of wool socks and mittens.
Did you ever have to card the wool?
Oh, yeah. No. Wait, there was a place out... Bull Town.
I've heard of that. They had a card in there.
You could send the reel out there and they'd card it. Come back and they'd be gone. But what I had to do when my mother, when she's spinning that, when she started to hank it up, I had to sit and hold my hands like that and she'd wind her arm around there and make hanks out of it.
They call them, they have a name for this.
When I was a girl growing up, we had a neighbor that did that, and she would spin, card the wall.
I've seen my mother spin. She'd take them rolls about so long.
The bats,
you know. And she'd have a great bunch of them hung over there, and she'd. You start on the running machine with 1 foot. Mm-hmm. She turned that, and whenever she got up to the end of it, well, she'd just take another roll and put it right at the end of it, and it'd just start winding, you know. It'd stretch out and it.
I was always surprised how she could make a thread out of that.
Yeah.
You all seen people do that, haven't you?
Yeah, I've seen a few.
Uh-huh.
Not very many, though, or still.
I had a fellow neighbor told me that. His mother would get on a horse with a bunch of that homespun yarn and ride to town and back. By the time she got back, she'd have a pair of socks.
Really?
Oh, she'd work on that horse.
Holly's telling about that. They used to tell me my father had twin sisters. And of course, they grew up and got married and had families too. And there's one of them, she'd start to churn. And she had a song she sang. Whenever she sang, got that song sung, well, the churn would die. My days are gliding swiftly by.
Is that what she sang?
Yeah.
That's
depending
on the temperature of the milk, though. Because I used to churn, and sometimes it took longer than
others. I want you to listen.
I don't know. So we had gals.
A preppy-looking man was arrested for peddling Fountain of Youth pills that promised to reverse the aging process. When he came before the judge, his honor was outraged at such a scam and asked if the man had a record of prior arrests. Yes, indeed, said the prosecutor, referring to his notes. He was arrested for the same offense in 1981, 1965,
1942,
1948,
1947.
That's pretty good.
That
sounds
like it hurt, doesn't it?
Oh, boy.
What was the one about the judge that you told, Clyde?
This really happened. This old judge over at Somersville. They used to have court over there, and there's a lawyer there, and the judge, him and the judge didn't get along very good. And, you know, back at that time, when they, everybody done their butchering, you know, and when they hauled the offal off, they hauled it in a wagon. They called it the gut wagon. And so the old judge, he ruled against his lawyer or something. The lawyer got mad and he said, "You ain't got sense enough to drive a gut wagon." Well, the judge, he fined him $5 and the old man wouldn't pay it. And the other lawyers told him, said, this went on, you know, for 3 or 4 days and it's $5 every day. And the other lawyer told him, said, "Now, you better go and apologize." Said, he'll ruin you. Said, "Just keep on." Said, "You can't pay directly." Said, "All you have to do is apologize." Said, "No matter whether you believe it or not, but apologize." So he agreed to him. So he got up in court one day and he said, "Your Honor," said, "I just want you to know that you do have sense enough to drive a gut wagon."
Left-handed apology, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Out of left field for sure.
I remember another thing you told me, something about a judge. Something about some land in Clay County or something.
Yeah. Yeah. There was. Somebody was having trouble over the line, over a little piece of land they had up in court. And this one lawyer, he got up and he said, "Your Honor," said, "this man has had this land in peaceful possession for so many years, I forget how many." The judge says, "My God, who ever heard of anybody having anything peaceful possession in Clay County?"
He'd have to know a little more about Clay County.
Yeah, he'd have to know more about Clay County.
Be careful, because I was born and raised in
Clay County. That's right. He's going to have to behave himself here.
He used to tell one, said, this fella going down the road, and he had a rope around another fella's neck to lead him. Said, "What are you doing?" Said, "I'm taking him over to Clay County to kill him." Said, "If I kill him here, I'll send him to the penitentiary." "If I take him over to Clay County, they won't do anything about it."
Lucy, you better get the rolling pin.
It's a little bit far out.
Or else they'll tell us some Braxton County jokes.
Probably could, but...
I got a feeling Clyde would get the last laugh somehow.
He sure would.
Yeah. You ever hear the one about these two fellas from West Virginia? And they lived in Ohio, you know, it's like side by side, and they shared a driveway. One day it come just a terrible big snow. So they got done talking about what they're gonna do, shoveling the snow out. One fella said, "I'll tell you what to do." He said, "I've got a bunch of gasoline there," said, "but this poor gasoline on the broom." The guy said, "Well, silly, we still have to shut the lashes off."
Well, Clyde's starting to get pretty corny.
I know. I better get my big boots on, my
Tell
rubber
me
boots.
Something.
It's getting
Would
deep.
You like a sandwich?
No, Lucy's offering a sandwich, but we
Would you like a sandwich?
No, we've got
a... Would you eat a sandwich?
I know you would.
On a tape made by Brooks Hardway in 1976, Fox Chase, and if there's time, Men Are on the Hook.
I got a fox chasing with them one night. Bunch of them fellas up at Gip used to fox chase. Nearly everybody, some of them fox chasers yet. But this has been 45, 50, this has been 50 years ago. I went with them one night. We went out on Bob Sharp and all. Willie Arnold, Charlie Sankey, Albert Arnold, Jimmy Arnold. Willie had an old money called Drive. We was sitting out there listening and drinking. Willie said, I hear old Drive. Sandy had one he called Old Queen. Charlie said, I hear Old Queen. Old Drive. Albert Arnold said, be still, boys. I hear Old Drum coming up. Old Drum. The Jerry Knob, and they're going down Sears's Run. Charlie Sandy said they may not be back. Fess Metz laying out there on the flat of his back by the fire hadn't never moved yet. Fess says he's heading for Rock Island. God knows he's heading for Rock Island. God knows. Rick, you heard was to hear the fox chase. I believe that.